Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said a child is a person who can dismantle in 5 minutes the toy it took you 5 hours to put together. We appreciate the opportunity again of Bible study, and it's great to be able to come your way with Bible meditations. All right, let's get back to our study. This week we've been talking about landmarks. Landmarks are important for the preservation of the land property that belongs to a person, an individual. It also is important to those of us who are children of God to make sure that landmarks are not moved by those who are around about us. Landmarks of our spiritual salvation. They are laid out before us as we look at 2 John 9. We're told not to transgress or to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. So the landmark that is very clearly laid out before us involves the doctrine of Christ. We are not to transgress, to add to or take away from what God has said. Therefore, we abide in the doctrine of Christ. Well, sometimes people are not satisfied with the Lord's landmarks. Therefore, they go about changing them. We are exhorted to see to it that we remain with the doctrine of Christ. Well, the doctrine of Christ, one of the landmarks clearly seen, is that Jesus Christ is head of the church, and the head of the church is the one who is looked to for authority. You don't do things on your own without authority. You do things by the authority of Christ. And so when we look in our Bible and we find what the New Testament church did, don't let anybody remove those landmarks. Remain with the landmarks that are laid out, clearly made known in the Word of God. What a sad thing that today in religion there are people practicing things that don't have any authority from the Bible whatever. But those who have remained within the doctrine of Christ are sure that they have authority for what they're doing. They make sure because they check daily to see if they're being told the truth. Another landmark of the New Testament church is that they engaged in spiritual worship. Worship comes from the idea of bowing the knee before. Now, think about that in regard to our God. Our worship goes to God, and that means we bow the knee before our Father in heaven. We see to it that the worship that we offer unto Him is the worship that He has authorized. In John 4, there's a discussion between a woman of Samaria at the well of Jacob. You remember the Lord talks with the woman, and in the discussion, Jesus talks to her about worship. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and He seeks men to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then verse 24, and we've all heard that over and over again, God is a spirit, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's significant that the word must is used there. That's not the idea that God forces people to worship Him, but it simply says to us, God does not approve all worship. The worship that He approves meets certain qualifications. What are the qualifications? What are the landmarks that we must go by? It must be in spirit and in truth. When we offer songs of praise to God, we need to understand what we're singing. Sometimes people sing words in a song that really they don't recognize what they mean. But the person who wants to please God makes sure that he understands what he's singing. Imagine a person going to God in prayer and not even recognizing that he needs to humbly go to God and pour out his heart's petitions to the one who is his Father in heaven. Prayer, then, is coming from the heart. It's not just repeating things. Sometimes people get the idea that they want to pray to God, so they come to the preacher and they say, "Would you write a prayer for me?" And what they're intending to do is to take this prayer that the preacher has written out, and they'll memorize it, and so they use that kind of memory with reference to the prayer. Some have done that with what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. They just simply memorize and rehearse what Jesus told his disciples to pray. My friends, the Lord didn't say, "I want you to memorize a prayer." He said that a person needs to, in spirit, offer his petitions to God. It also has to be in truth, one of the landmarks. We don't have a right to do all of the other things people want to do in religion. Do you ever hear anybody say, "Well, I like it"? What they're talking about is some addition, something that the Bible doesn't authorize. The Bible tells us how to worship God. It tells us that it must be from the heart, but it also must have Bible backing and Bible authority. Do you ever take the time to question whether what you do in worship is what the New Testament authorizes? Can you go to your Bible and find a verse that says they sang and make melody in their heart to the Lord? Or a verse that says lay by in store on the first day of the week? Those are verses that are there, but there are people practicing things that there is no verse in the Bible for. See that you remove not the ancient landmarks. Remember, the landmarks of our salvation have been set by God. We have no right to alter them or to change them. It's been a privilege to study with you this week. Please be listening again Monday. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.